Hello and welcome everyone, friends, family. If you are new to exploring the Beloved City Church family online, welcome. Or maybe you're new to exploring faith and spirituality, the big questions about life, welcome. We truly believe here at Beloved that you can belong before you believe. And we are so glad that you're here with us today. At Beloved City Church, we are so passionate about growing a thriving and life-giving church where you and your family and my family, together we can flourish spiritually and relationally and physically. It's beautiful. We exist as a church to lead people to know Jesus intimately, to know God, to grow in freedom. We want you to grow in freedom. I want to grow in freedom from those things that we experience that just don't bring life, those things that we do, our broken habits sometimes. And then we also want to lead people in discovering their God-given purpose here on earth. Why do I exist here? What's the purposes of all this? And then we want to also invite and bring people to come alongside us as a Beloved City Church family as we make a difference in our local city, make a difference in our local church. Populating heaven and plundering hell is often what we say. I pray that today, over the next few moments together, Holy Spirit will nudge us closer to Him, to His way, to live and to serve and to give and love like Jesus. That's what we're learning about. It's His good and perfect plan for your life and my life as well. So today we are continuing in our series. We're actually wrapping up this series, The Way. If you missed last week, I encourage you to stay connected with what the Holy Spirit is leading us in as a church. Jump in on the podcast channel if you missed it on Spotify or on our YouTube channel. You can watch it live again to catch up. I do believe that we are in a season of growth, spiritual growth and development as a church for purposes that are bigger than we can imagine. Some call it discipleship. Healthy things grow and growing things change. So we're looking forward to growing and changing, flexing. Could we be so brave today as to grow and change together? So in wrapping up this series on the way of Jesus, so often we focus on the truth of Jesus, right? And that is good. We will continue to do so. We won't ever stop focusing on the truth about Jesus. Yet we don't often consider the way of Jesus and examining the way that He lived and served and gave and loved. The way of Jesus. Why? So because as we're being conformed into the image of Jesus, sometimes it's helpful to know what that actually looks like, right? He is the way, the truth and the life, and anyone who decides to come to Him and to follow Him, to live in His rest, will find abundant life. So today, I want to draw our attention to the topic of prayer. And before I start, I want to ask you this question. Think about it. Just don't jump to the answer right away. Whatever pops in your mind or look or sound spiritual even, right? The question is, do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you believe in the power of prayer? You believe that God actually exists and that He hears you and He hears your prayer, He answers your prayers. You believe that prayer is effective. That is, prayer is our first response rather than our last resort. Yet, would you honestly say that I don't pray as much as I know I could or should? Or another question could be this. Maybe you believe in the power of prayer and maybe you even try to pray, but do you often feel that your prayers aren't that effective? Would you be so brave to be honest with me today and honest with yourself and God? And I want to be real and honest with myself, with you, and with God. I get to talk to real people today. Is that okay? I want to be honest with you, and I hope we could be honest together. And as we are wrapping up this message series, The Way, and we've been looking at the not only the truth about Jesus, but how He lived, served, gave, and loved. And if there was a constant in the life of Jesus, no matter what happened, no matter how crazy things get, no matter how crazy life was, no matter what the disciples were doing, right? They were always doing silly things sometimes too. No matter what the Roman government was doing at that time, no matter what the religious people were doing, no matter what the rumors were, what the other church down the street is saying, or your neighbors or his neighbors, if there's any constant in his life, it was this, that Jesus constantly sought the Father in prayer. He prioritized the presence of God in prayer. So my question, the title of today's sermon is, what's your priority? We're learning about Jesus and He prioritized the presence of God in prayer. And I would say from reading about the life of Jesus, I'd say it actually worked, right? I'd say it had an actual impact on His life and His ministry, His calling, His sentness, the people He was with, His relentless devotion to living a life of prayer, of constant communication with the Father, empowered Him to overcome every temptation of the flesh, of the world, and of the devil. Those are the three enemies that we have, right? He was fully empowered to live a life that was faithful to God, in complete obedience to God. He truly lived His life to serve and to give and to love other people. We're talking about the way of Jesus today. He lived a life at a walk's pace. He stopped and gave his undivided attention. He lived in the moment. He healed people. He showed love to those who were unloving back to him. See, when I look at the life, at Jesus's life and see how he lived and served and gave and loved, I truly want to learn from him. He demonstrated this life through Holy Spirit, who is the great teacher. That's how we're learning today. If and when I'm willing, the Holy Spirit wants to nudge us in the direction of growth and change in our life as we're being conformed or as we're being transformed into his image to live the way that Jesus did. That's what transformation means. I'm no longer living like me. I'm living like more like Jesus, right? And so if I desire to be like Jesus, I know I can't do it on my own strength, right? I too must prioritize similar things that Jesus prioritized, being in constant communication with the Father. I too should probably learn how to pray like Jesus prayed, and yet so many of us don't. So why do you think that is though? Why is it, do you think, that we struggle to pray consistently or to pray effectively? Well, I believe there are three reasons that we're going to look at that we struggle to pray consistently and effectively. Three reasons. And maybe you just might see yourself in one of these three reasons. First one, we lack the focus. We're so distracted. We lack focus. Focus. We want and desire to pray. We know it works. We know it feels right. We know it feels great. We know Jesus teaches us to pray. He demonstrated it. If you hear a message on prayer and like working out, it's great, right? And you're really enthusiastic about your new protein shake. And it was somewhere over a short span of 3 days for you, or 3 weeks maybe for you, or maybe even 3 months, whatever it is for you, we get distracted. I might even be so brave as to say you might get bored. I mean, it's really amazing spending time with Jesus in prayer. I have this personal one-on-one time with God. It's like pretty fresh, right? But then it's like, thank you, Jesus. Oh God, you are great and greatly to be praised. Oh, I wonder if the garbage goes out today. Crap, I better check the schedule to make sure. Thank you, Jesus, for your life-saving grace. God, you are so awesome. You are my strong tower, my refuge. Ding! Text message comes in, right? And oh, right, I need to get the dog to the vet for shots today, I guess. And if I need to go there, then I probably should go by Save On Foods and get some more grocery. I need some grocery items for, you know, some lunch stuff for the kids and some sandwich meat. I noticed the ham didn't quite smell right this morning. Hope the kids don't get sick, actually, because, you know, I put that in their sandwiches today. And right, I need to check the bank balance, you know, just distracted by these things. Make sure I can pay that advance for the kids' camp registration. And why am I sitting on the floor? Oh, right, I'm praying. Sorry, God. I was a bit distracted there. I apologize. Where were we? All right. God, you are so good. You're my strong tower, my refuge. God, thank you. Like my spiritual attention deficit kicks in, my ADD, right? Kicked in, and I got totally distracted by every little thing around me and by the world that I'm living in and all the kinds of... My mind wanders to everything and anything but God. Or maybe for some of you, you're like me and are not quite oversaved, and you might get bored when you're praying. Like you've been praying for a bit of time and you're working through the distraction and it's kind of got boring. I know some of you just got real judgy in that moment. But hey, I hope I can talk to real people today, right? I mean, I remember a few times in my life falling asleep when I'm praying, Bible open on my lap and I'm praying away. There wasn't any like weeping or groanings or gnashing of teeth or anything like that. You'd wake up with a startle and hope that, you know, God wasn't like mad at you or offended or for being so bored that you fell asleep while talking to him. I'm sorry, God, I'm so tired. I'll totally try harder next time. I promise, right, to be more engaging. I don't know, maybe you've done something similar like that. I have. Sometimes you are just plainly distracted and lacking focus, right? Another reason many of us don't pray constantly and effectively, that's what we're talking about. Praying constantly and effectively is that we lack confidence. We just don't really know how to do it, how to pray. It's especially intimidating when you're around someone who does, right? Anybody have someone like that in their life? You know, you're like at city groups or life groups and someone is like praying so eloquently and for so long and nice fancy words. And they're almost like, if there was such a thing, a professional prayer, that maybe they get paid or something or got sponsored by like prayerwarriors.com or whatever it might be. I thought we were just praying for the egg rolls. Come on, man. Their prayers are just so powerful, though, right? Like quoting scripture from Hosea, and you're like, boy, I didn't even know Hosea was in the Bible. I thought that Hosea was a Mexican dude using words like Jehovah Nissi and Rapha, and you're like, dude, all I know is the name of Jesus. Confidence, right, in prayer. Sometimes we lack the confidence. You're intimidated sometimes, insecure, maybe lacking confidence to pray. You just don't know how to pray with confidence. Some people, they lack focus. Some people lack confidence. And thirdly, some of us lack faith. We lack the faith to pray. We're just not sure that God will do it, that he's even listening, or we might believe that God can do it, but it just doesn't seem like he's going to do it for me, right? He's doing it for everybody else, but we wonder, does he even hear my prayers? What's preventing me from getting what I need or whatever it is? Does he care? And sometimes we can make a pretty strong argument that he really doesn't care about the small need that I have. Or hear my prayers because, like, man, we tried and I prayed so hard and so long and I really believed and he really was going to answer my prayer and he just didn't do what I asked him to do. I'm sure that you probably have your own version of that story. I know I have. Maybe as a kid, you prayed for your parents' marriage to work out and you believed, you really did. You prayed hard and they still got divorced. Maybe you prayed for your loved one to get healed and they didn't. They actually died. You know, it's hard, right? You prayed, you believed, maybe for you, you've been struggling with a secret sin and you've been praying, you've been asking and pleading with God that he would just take it away. Just take it away from me, Jesus. Come on. And he hasn't, right? So you just might be concluding that prayer doesn't work. It might for others, but it just hasn't for me. So you quit. You've given up on prayer. All right. So to understand what prayer is, here's what I want to do. I will often look at what something is not before I arrive at a conclusion of learning what something is, right? That's how I work backwards, I guess, maybe from it. So what is prayer not? Let's look at that. Good question, right? A lot of times we have a misperception of what prayer is. And so I want to help you see very clearly what prayer is not. We're talking about the way of Jesus. So first one, what prayer is not? Prayer is not a formal presentation, right? And you got a slideshow going or whatever. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. You don't have to be like in something like a minister's robe, like a priest robe or something, or at a special house coat, or kneel down by a bed in a certain way, or approach God with fancy language, like, we beseech thee, O Father, and then use King James language, hither, thither, and thou, or whatever. Prayer is not a formal presentation before God. Prayer is also not giving God your formal wish list, like Santa Claus, you know, you got this long list of things you want for Christmas, right? He's not some kind of like cosmic magic genie that you rub him just the right way and say that prayer just the right way, and he's obligated to respond and do exactly what you wanted him to do. Nor is he a spiritual vending machine where you just throw your loony in, your tithe or whatever. If I tithe them, God's gonna give me, you know, that's not how it works, right? He's not your spiritual vending machine, where we sometimes believe, well, I've been serving and I've been giving up my tithe and I've been loving people, and why is he not giving me at least one of my wish list items? Transactional relationship right now. Prayer is not that. Oh, okay. So prayer is also not a spiritual negotiation. I don't know. I'm sure I've negotiated with God. I know that sounds, Pastor Chris, what the negotiating? Prayer is not a spiritual negotiation where you tell God what you won't do anymore if he'll just do what you're asking him to do. Oh God, I promise I'll never be so hateful again if you'll just, whatever it is, I'll never do this again, God, forgive me. If you just answer my prayer, I'll never do this again. Prayer is not a spiritual negotiation, friends, nor is it a performance either to like earn or win the favor of God. And it's never a show to impress people, that's for sure. Prayer is not a lot of things that we think it might be. In fact, when we look at the way that Jesus lived and just see how he interacted with God, what we will discover about the way of Jesus is this, that prayer isn't just an action you do, but prayer is a way that you live. When we look at the way that Jesus lived, we see prayer isn't just a momentary action. And sometimes he gets done, and it's very specific. But it's not just a momentary action where you fold your hands and kneel on your knees and say something suave and close it out with an amen. It can be that, yet it's so much more than just an action that you and I occasionally do. It's more of the way that you live. It's a way of living. In fact, when you look at the way that Jesus lived, he prioritized the presence of God in prayer. You can read again and again and again in scripture throughout the entire scripture that he would leave the crowd and he would go off to pray. He would go off alone to seek the Father in prayer. He would get up early in the morning to pray. He would go off alone to the lake to pray. He would sit in a boat and pray. He would pray late at night and early in the morning. He would go to the mountain and pray. He was always disconnecting from the surroundings and from the hubbub, from those around him to fully connect to God. In fact, when you look at when he prayed in the gospel accounts in the scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's fascinating to see exactly when and how Jesus prayed. When did he pray? According to the Gospels, we see a long list of when Jesus, it's a long list, but it's just a short list in reality, right? He prayed at his baptism. He prayed in the morning before heading to Galilee. He prayed after healing people. He prayed the night before choosing his disciples. Don't worry, I'm not going to go through all of them. There's way too many, but there are a couple more. He prayed for little children. He prayed for himself. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed right after being nailed to the cross, actually. He prayed while dying on the cross. He prayed all throughout the day. Prayer was not something that he occasionally did. Prayer was a part of the way that Jesus lived. We're learning about the way of Jesus, and prayer is an integral part of living the way of Jesus. And these are just the incidents that four guys wrote down in their gospel account of the way of Jesus. Can you imagine how many other incidences there would have been over the course of his life? Right? Jesus prioritized the very presence of God in prayer. So then, how did he pray? It wasn't something he did. It was simply the way he lived. Now, I imagine many of you are here with me online, might say or think things that many others have said or thought, like, yeah, I'd like to pray, but I don't really have time to pray. I mean, there's so much going on. There's way too much, and I've got to be productive. I've got to get these things done. I've got so much stuff on my agenda to do. And I would dare to say that whenever you think you don't have time to pray, that we actually don't have the time to not pray. You really don't. There actually may be nothing more productive in your life, more of a priority in your life than the time that you invest in seeking the heart of God and inviting his power and his presence and his strength and grace and love to be with you. Because I don't know about you, but it's a dark world that we live in. Life is crazy. Life is stressful. It's a tough gig out there, right? I mean, it's kind of brutal. It's almost impossible to walk into the world and be full of joy and peace with all the chaos around you, to be an effective witness of Jesus when all you see is division and cancel culture in every workplace and everywhere we go. And the relationship stresses and the tensions in our families and the financial pressures we're under to pay the rent and the bills and the mortgage and the temptation that we face and all the complicated decisions that you have to make. Why are you doing it on your own, friends? I don't know about you, maybe you got this all figured out, but I absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I need God's presence. I need his power. I need his grace. And not just for a few minutes in prayer. I need him in the every waking moment, in the every way that I live. And so, friends, as a student and a follower of Jesus, what I do know is this, that I live in this world, yet I'm not of this world, right? I'm an alien. I know, maybe I look like that too, but so to be completely effective in this world, there are times that I have to disconnect from the world around me and spend time with the Father. Yes, there's momentary times, but it's not just, and prayer is not just a momentary action. Prayer is a living, it's a lifestyle. There will be times when I will need to disconnect from everything that does not last in order to connect to the one who does last, right? I have to disconnect from everything that is temporary to connect to the one who is eternal. I have to disconnect from all the temptations to gratify myself, to connect to the one who brings glory to himself. See, prayer isn't just a momentary action. It is that, but it's so much more. When you look at the way of Jesus, prayer wasn't just something that he did. It was the way that he interacted with God in his day-to-day, moment-to-moment living in every moment of every day. In fact, can I read to you what some would call a devotional translation of Matthew's gospel? Matthew 6 and 6. This is from the Message translation, or a paraphrase. It's not a literal translation. It is a paraphrase, but I find it's very meaningful. Eugene Peterson translates the words of Jesus in this way in Matthew 6, 6. He says, here's what I want you to do. This is Jesus. Find a quiet, secluded place. He's saying, find a place to pray. Do you have a prayer place, friends? It might be a prayer chair. It might be a prayer closet. It might be a prayer corner. It might be a prayer porch swing. Find a secluded place. Now, I can already hear some of you. Prayer place? What? I've got three kids under the age of 8, and there ain't no private place in my house, let alone 3 seconds of quiet time. You've been praying in the bathroom, right? That's okay. Go on in, friend. That's okay. Go in the bathroom, shut and lock the door, put your earplugs in, and pray. You got about 4 minutes before they find you, and they're coming, but you got 4 minutes to interact with the Father. Find a secluded place to pray, Jesus says, so that you won't be tempted. And I really like this. He says, to role play before God. Just be there. And this is really good. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. And here's what can happen. It says, the focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense his grace. Beautiful. When what do you do? You find a secluded place, and just be there as simply and honestly as you can be in the moment and be as simple and honest as you can manage. Wow, you will begin to sense His grace. Jesus got alone to pray. So here's what I would encourage you to do. Make it a daily priority to get alone and to block out the noise, right? Eliminate the distractions. Put your phone aside for a few minutes. Don't check your Instagram. Who cares? I promise you, whatever they'll post, it'll still be there when you get back. And it still be mostly meaningless. Now, don't check your text messages, whatever conspiracy videos someone sent you. There'll be another one coming tomorrow. Guarantee it. Just put it aside. Invest in a few moments with God. Just be simple and honest with God. Disconnect from this world to connect to the Lord of hosts. Why do you need to do that? Because intimacy is never accidental, friends. You never just accidentally fall in love or become close to God. Maybe you've heard this or possibly have said this yourself. Well, I'm not that close to God. I'm just not that close right now. Yet you don't just fall into it, friends. Like, man, I've just been so busy and pretty worried and stressed and dealing with mean people all the time at work. And I'm just so close to God right now. No, you and I both know that it doesn't happen that way. There's no relationship that can happen without focused time for intimacy, for being together, togetherness and mutuality. There's no way I'm going to have a close relationship with my spouse, Angela, or with my kids if I never spend time with them, if I never talk to them, or never have any focused time alone. You can't be close to a friend if you don't spend time alone with that person. There's a time and place that you pray and you just be still with the Father. I'll illustrate it this way. I don't know a whole lot about doves. I raised cattle growing up in the prairies. We had mourning doves outside of our home all the time, cooing away. It was really interesting. They wake you up. Little lovebirds, but it's simple. Here's what I know about doves. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in Matthew 3:16-17, this is a very meaningful text. A voice from heaven spoke as Jesus came up out of the water, and it was God our Father, and He publicly declared His love for His Son and said this, "This is My Son whom I love." In other words, I want everybody to know that I love Him and that I'm proud of Him. And He says, "With Him I'm well pleased." And the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove upon Jesus. Gentle, the presence of the Holy Spirit, gentle like a dove. Well, if you haven't raised doves or been around doves or birds for that much, you know, much at all, you might know that a dove will never land on something unless it's still. It doesn't land on a moving object. It lands on something that is still. A dove doesn't land on a moving person. You could probably have figured that out on your own, I'm sure. If you desire to experience the presence of the living God, the Holy Spirit, descending on you and your household, gentle like a dove, sometimes you just have to find a secluded place and be still before God. You're like a moving target running around with your head cut off, right? And you might say, "Well, but what do I do? What do I pray about?" And the answer is really, really simple, friends. Pray about whatever you care about, whatever's meaningful to your heart, whatever's on your mind, whatever's weighing heavy on, whatever's on your heart, whatever you're excited about too, whatever questions you might have, whatever you're burdened about. Pray about it. Just simply talk to Jesus about it like He's right there beside you. Paul said it this way in Philippians 4:6. He said, "Don't worry about anything. Instead," he say it with me, "pray about everything." Say this, pray about everything. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart, friends. Talk to Him like He's a close friend, because He is. If you have questions, ask Him. If you're mad at Him or hurting, tell Him. I promise you, He can handle it. He's a big God. Pour out your heart to God. Talk to Him intimately. It's not just an act. It's a friendship. It's a love relationship. Why is it that so many of us still struggle to pray? Well, I would say in many ways it's because we tend to try to compartmentalize our lives. Ever had a TV dinner? A Hungry Man TV dinner? You still get them at Save-On or wherever. TV dinners are a lot like the way many people live their lives still today. Over here in this little square, you know, you have your mystery meat. Maybe, hopefully it's turkey. Maybe it's chicken, anything. I don't know. And then over here, you have another little square with your powdered mashed potatoes. Maybe another square over here with your canned peas or your corn. Everything neat and tidy. A little container with saran wrap for your gravy. It's a little tidy. Tiny little compartment. We tend to treat our lives in a little bit like this, don't we? We compartmentalize it. We try really hard to compartmentalize and keep everything separated. Oh, it's so messy. Maybe we think it's safer like this, right? And we tend to think, well, here's my work life square, and then there's my professional life here, and then there's my church life definitely over here, away from all the messy stuff. Fragmented, right? Separated. And then we wonder why my life is so disintegrated. so stress-filled. We somehow think that these areas of our lives that they don't touch and that they don't cross over, or yet, or even here, worst case yet, they shouldn't. Some of us think that they shouldn't touch and they shouldn't cross over. Yet what I want you to understand is that God does not want to be a small part of your life, or 1/7 of your life, 1 hour a week on Sunday. He does not want to be a part of your 5 minutes of prayer in the morning and then say, good luck, son, have a great day. Same time, same place tomorrow, right? Sure, God, sounds great. I might be 5 minutes late though. Friends, you do not want God to be a part of your life, compartmentalizing God. Friends, He is your life. He's the whole meal. This is the way of Jesus. So many people think that God works for you, and yet it's quite actually the opposite. You exist for Him. He is every part of what matters in your life. It's all about being in relationship with Jesus. And what is so amazing is He promises that He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never abandon you. He'll never leave you lonely and orphaned. He puts you into the families. Spiritual family, church family, local church body. He will guide you and He will teach you through the Holy Spirit and lead you. When you have no idea what to do next, He will give you wisdom what to say in that relationship conflict, since He's always with you. Prayer is not just an action, friend, that you do. It is a way that you live. When you look at the way Jesus lived, He practiced the presence and priority of prayer. He had uninterrupted time and fellowship with His Father. He was always praying. In fact, let's look at another verse of scripture, and I like you to see it in three different translations. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. The New Living Translation says, never stop praying. So nudge your neighbor right now and say, never, don't stop praying. The New International, the NIV, says, pray continually. And the King James, the KJV, says this, pray without ceasing. Maybe some of you feel a sense of guilt when you read that passage. You're like, man, how does that even work? Because you can hardly go 5 minutes like me praying without distraction sometimes, let alone pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. I mean, come on, I can hardly pray at all. But that's not what this passage is intending for. See, when you examine the way of Jesus, the way He lived, served, gave, and loved, you will see that prayer is not an action alone. It was just the way He lived. It was a way of life. It was an ongoing awareness of the nearness of God. And that He will never leave me nor forsake me. And I'm just talking with Him as I go throughout my day. And yes, I do put time aside to pray to Him as well and talk to Him. He's with you. And so you can just talk to Him anywhere, anytime. You don't have to break away and kneel down and fold your hands. You can just talk to Him when you're driving, and you can talk to Him at work, and talk to Him when that wonderful person who tends to get up in your grill and stress you out, getting on your nerves, and just ask God to give you grace for that person in that moment. You just talk to Him when you're about to lose your temper at your kids, and you just talk to Him when you're running late to church and you're about to lose your witness, or when you're running late to church screaming and yelling at your kids and your wife and giving that guy the finger because he stopped at a green light and don't you know I'm in a hurry, and you just talk to Him when you forget something that seemed important, and when you can't find your bank card, when you're worried about something. Friends, you just talk to Him like He's your friend who's right there beside you, because He is. So prayer is getting alone with God. Do that. Find your place of prayer, but it's also so much more than it. Prayer is living in God's presence. Prayer is experiencing God's grace. Prayer is hearing the whisper, His whisper throughout the day. He whispers because He's close. He doesn't need to yell at you. It's enjoying His power. It's experiencing His peace. Prayer isn't just getting God to do what we want, but prayer is aligning our will and our hearts to His. It's delighting in the Lord in His way as He changes our hearts and gives us the desires of our changed heart. When you pray, when you're walking with God, when you're in the Spirit, when you're aware of His presence, He'll both convict you of your sin in a very loving way, and He'll comfort you in the middle of your trials and your temptations, because He's with you and He's always loving you. When you're walking in a spirit of prayer, you will sense His direction in every moment you need to make a decision. You will notice Him guiding you. You will hear His promptings to reach out to someone when it's time to reach out to someone. Your heart will hurt for what breaks His heart, and your heart will begin to rejoice over what brings Him joy. Prayer is not an action, friends, that you do. It's a way that you live, living in the eternal and ongoing presence of the living God, prioritizing the presence of God's prayer. What are you prioritizing? What's your priority today? Some of you are like, we just need more prayer meetings. And I'm like, let's not actually. Can we actually learn to just live with God? To pray without ceasing, to never stop praying. It's not like you're praying every moment, but when you and I need God, He's there. You just talk to Him, and you and I will continue growing more aware than we've ever been before. He's always there. And don't hear me wrong, prayer meetings are beautiful. Worship nights are beautiful, right? In fact, Max Lucado, he talked about something that I think you might find helpful. He talked about, first off, giving God your thoughts. And he shares about four different types of thoughts. He says, give God your waking thoughts. Meaning when you wake up in the day, you say, good morning, God. This is the day that you have made. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in it. God, I'd love for you to direct my steps today, right? Giving him my waking thoughts. God, help me to see needs today. Help me to speak words of life, words of encouragement. God, convict me of anything that may be out of line with you. God, I'm devoting my whole day to you, giving God your waking thoughts. And then he teaches us also, give God your waiting thoughts. Whatever you're waiting on, maybe you're praying for the salvation of a loved one, a friend. You're praying for a miracle. You're praying for a provision. You're praying for a breakthrough, a job, whatever. Whatever it is you're waiting on, just take that before God and spend some time with him. Give him your waking thoughts and then give him your waiting thoughts. What are you waiting on? And then throughout the day, give him your whispering talks, because you just might not want to shout your prayers out in the middle of the office, right? I know we all know a Christian like that who, and the whole office avoids eye contact with him or her, be going around like, I bind the devil of broken staplers in the name of Jesus, praying for healing on your stapler. Probably not the best way to demonstrate the way of Jesus. But there are times when you'll be like, God, help me to deal with this difficult situation. And you're just whispering to God, would you give me wisdom today, God? Hey, Jesus, would you help me to do a good job on this presentation as you're walking into it, right? God, would you give me the words to say during this difficult conversation? God, you are great. God, would you help me to connect with my 16-year-old today in a special way? God, would you help me welcome and love my husband when he comes home from a difficult day? God, would you help me to be a voice of encouragement to someone today? And you're whispering your thoughts to him throughout your day, right? So give him your whispering thoughts. And so you begin to start your day with giving God your waking thoughts, and then you give him your waiting thoughts, and then you give him your whispering thoughts, and then at the end of the day, you give him your waning thoughts. At the end of the day, you look back and say, God, here's what I saw you in today. Here's what I saw you do. And here's where I experienced you today. Here's what I'm thankful for today that you did. And here's what I'm incredibly thankful for. And then whatever burdens you have before you go to bed, you just give it to God. You cast your cares upon him like a fisherman casts a net. You cast your cares upon him because he cares so much for you. And so you say, God, I'm giving you this. I trust you to handle it. I'm going to sleep right now. And tomorrow, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to wake up and give you my waking thoughts again. Because prayer is not just something that you do. Prayer is a way that you live, friends. When you look at the way that Jesus lived and served, gave, and loved, he just prioritized the presence of God. So be free from prayer guilt, friends. Instead, be aware that God is with you right now. He's always with you. He's always in love with you. He never leaves you, doesn't abandon you, doesn't isolate you because you're a bad boy and you put you in a corner and leave you lonely. No, he puts the lonely in family, and he helps us and he teaches and he disciplines us. So what do? Find a place and pray, and then just never stop praying. You just don't stop. You're always aware. At any moment, you just pray away. It's like texting a friend, I'm thinking of you. It's like calling a loved one. You're talking to Jesus. 1 John 5:14-16. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God to pray. This is in 1 John 5:14-16. In approaching God to pray, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears our prayers. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask him for. Wow. The Apostle Paul, from a prison, wrote in Philippians 4:6-7, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And as you pray and as you enjoy his presence and as you walk in his spirit, what happens? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, you just don't stop praying. You just don't stop praying. You're walking in the spirit, right? You're living in his love. You're aware of his goodness. You're aware of his nearness. You're experiencing his grace, his truth, his peace, his love. When you're weak, he strengthens. His strength makes you perfect. When you're tempted, his power will help you overcome. When you're discouraged, he's the lifter of your head. Your eyes lift him up, right? He brings joy in the morning. So you bring him your waking thoughts and you bring him your waiting thoughts, and you don't grow weary in doing good, for you'll reap a harvest at the proper time. If you do not give up and you give him your whispering thoughts, because you may not hear him in the thunder and the lightning of the chaos of your day, but you often hear God in the whispers. So then you give him your waning thoughts at the end of this day, casting all your cares upon him because he cares about you. And you will recognize that prayer is not just something that you do. It is a way that you can live. And suddenly you will find yourself walking in the fullness of the presence of God, living a supernatural life in a very natural world. You will grow aware that he's comforting me, that he's guiding me, he's convicting me, he's strengthening me, he's loving me, he's prompting me. You just may suddenly wake up in your daytime, and you'll not only just believe the truth about Jesus or that Jesus taught, but you'll also find yourself living, serving, giving, and loving the way of Jesus. And friends, that honors God and truly makes a difference in this world. And that's what we're here for, friends. That's our mission here at Beloved City Church, to make a difference here. You will honor God and you will make a difference. Will you pray with me? All eyes closed and heads bowed. We ask you, Jesus, right now as we are in your presence and in this holy moment together, and by the teaching of your word today that we received, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would draw us into an intimate, ongoing relationship with you, that we will grow in living and serving and giving and loving the way you did, Jesus, in an ongoing fellowship and dependence on you. God, teach us to pray. Give us a heart to pray. Help us to live in an attitude and posture of prayer so we can live and love the way Jesus lived and loved. We pray this with faith today, believing that you are hearing our prayers in Jesus' name. Keeping your eyes closed just for a moment and every head bowed. If you're here and you're new to exploring faith and spirituality and you would like to explore what it means to follow the way of Jesus, can you pray with me like this? Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for me to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin and my shame and healing my hurt, my pain, and my brokenness. I choose to receive this extravagant gift of life that you're offering to me for free and ask you to come and live in my heart, fill my heart, and be the Lord and the leader of my entire life. I give you all of me and ask you to lead my life for your glory. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and help me live the life you died to give me. Show me how to activate your word in my life. Reveal to us where we can walk in the freedom that you have designed us to walk in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you would like to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus by being baptized just like Jesus was and as Jesus commanded us, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, let us know. We would love to walk that out with you. At Beloved City Church, we are so passionate about what God has called us to do, to grow a thriving and life-giving church that is centered around Jesus and making an impact for eternity in us and in others. Will you take a step to partner with us today at Beloved City Church, with the Beloved City Church Ministries, the Day-to-Day Ministries? Here's how. Join the Big Table family. Discover what it means to be a part of the Beloved family. Make it official. Join the family. Sign up for the next Discover Family Night and discover what it means to be a family member here at the local church. Join the Grow Team. Man, and help serve others, serve back into your local church, serving one another, serving our city, working alongside a team here at Beloved. Let's make an impact and a difference in one another's lives together. And last but not least, friends, will you prayerfully consider worshiping God with your money by giving financially at Beloved City Church and helping us to grow a dynamic Jesus-centered church in this city that will continue to make a difference in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you in a special way today. And be aware of his presence today. In Jesus' name, amen.